We live in different times, don't we? Our lives over the past few months and how we live those lives have changed radically. And of course, many people at this time wonder why God has done that to us. Why has God done that to us? Has God done that to us? Or have we, the people of God, the sojourners on this earth, have done it to themselves? I am so very much amazed at the attitude of so many people, the anger, the fear, the wonderment, almost a sense of depression has come upon us. And so what we look to is some sign, some word that would help us understand our situation. Let's go to the first reading from the prophet Jonah. Jonah was sent to this huge city of Nineveh because the people had turned away from God. And so he goes about as a prophet, telling them in 40 days, and Nineveh will be completely destroyed. It brought a great fear over the people, didn't it? They put sackcloth on, and they fasted. And God saw this. He repented of the evil they had threatened to do them. He did not carry it out. In our second reading, from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, for the world in its present form is passing away. That which was very familiar to us, and that how we lived our life, is quite different than it is today. And finally, Jesus himself says, when he calls his apostles, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. How do we understand that in our lives today? How do we understand our relationship with our God? In the past almost 6 years now, I have not been able to celebrate Mass outside of my own house by myself with the Lord. For a while there, my dog attended Mass with me. However, when I began to preach to him, he had the audacity to fall asleep. So if you fall asleep during my few words, don't worry, my dog did it to me first. I'm used to it. But my whole life changed in terms of my activities now. In fact, to be very honest with you, this is the first time in months that I'm celebrating Mass with live people before me. But deep in my heart, I understand very clearly and very surely that I am never alone. And when I celebrate Mass, I celebrate with you today, but I celebrate with all the people of God who have come here to try to understand what's happening in our lives. Schools are being interrupted now, and children are learning via a screen. And it's affecting them in so many ways. Because the only reason we go to school to learn and to live and to understand, but we go to school to learn how to behave and to deal with people, how to share, how to forgive, how to strive to understand, how to be kind. And now we're doing it with our brothers and sisters in our home. And our parents are trying to, in any way possible, make this a real situation for us. Things that were quite familiar to us. For months now, I have no idea what a restaurant looks like. And I'm surviving on my own cooking. That's why you can see that I'm going bald. And you see, amidst all these clothes, that I'm losing weight. and you understand that my life is different now, as your lives are different now. But I also understand that I am never alone. And that's what I want you to understand today, as you come here to find something that you could latch on to, that will make you understand that you are not alone. We have God's word. And now that I'm not in a hurry because I have the next Mass I have to celebrate or what have you, I just get lost perhaps in one sentence. And I just reflect upon that. I don't have to move on to the next thing until that reflection gently leads me to the next thing. I cannot understand. I was a man for almost 50 years, no, beyond 50 years now, that I have celebrated with my people every morning, every Sunday, every holiday. Now the way I contact with anybody that I used to know, that I don't know any longer, I'm contacted with them in my prayers, in my thoughts, what have you. It's a whole new way for me to act. I am getting at the point in my life now when I forget a lot of my family's names. I don't see them anymore. I haven't been home in over 2 years. I was born and raised in New York City, where I was always surrounded with people. And one of the reasons I miss that so much is because my life, in a very real sense, has changed. For a kid born in the city of New York, in the Bronx, who traveled by the train to school, who went off and went to the seminary, was ordained a priest, and wound up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then I wound up in Toronto, Canada, I wound up in Montreal, Canada, I wound up in upstate New York, and then, as I say, by the grace of God, I was finally freed, and I came down to North Carolina, where I hope to spend the rest of the years of my life. Radical changes for me. Radical changes for me. By being called Richard or Uncle Richard, I'm now called Father. And then by the grace of God, and to my very unbelievable surprise, I hear the word Monsignor. My life has changed, not only by titles, but by the reality of who I am. When I was young, I was extremely enthusiastic, and I thought that God called me to change the church, until a very wise bishop reminded me once, twice, and he says, I'm not going to remind you again. You are here to help form the church. The church needs not to be changed. It is the body of Christ on earth. And even though many people have forgotten that, even though many people put the blame on God, nevertheless, we know, because our faith informs us, charges us to understand that we are here to be Christ. I will make you fishers of men. He's talking to his apostles, the leaders of our church, their successors, our Holy Father Pope Francis, our bishops, our priests, our deacons. Our task is to form people, to understand that all of us have that responsibility, now perhaps in a greater way than ever before. We're worried about vaccines, we're worried about this thing, we're worried about that. Sometimes I wear this mask and I don't even know I have it on, and I'm ready to slip into bed, and I'm saying, why am I wearing a mask? I'm the only one here. Whatever germs I have are staying home with me. They're not going anywhere. But it's a meaning for me. It's a symbol for me that becomes so clear that I have to hide myself from the evils of the world, from the injustice, from the hatred, from the poverty, from the lack of justice, the lack of understanding, the lack of the goodness of God himself and our purity that he gives us. It's hard to live that way when the world tells us, no, you are free. You are free. You can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. You are free. Well, that's a freedom that puts handcuffs on our hands and on our hearts. Because it's not a freedom from, but it's a freedom to. And I've learned, living alone in my little, I call it my little shack. It's not a shack, but it's not mine. I just live there while I'm living. And my home is not a home to me anymore, because my home is with the Lord. And what we look for is the fulfillment of the kingdom. This is the time of fulfillment, Jesus says. This is the time to understand that the kingdom of God is here, and what we look for is the fulfillment of that kingdom to be with God forever in heaven. Jesus, and we say, well, I want to be like Jesus. I always said that as a kid. My mom and dad taught me that if you want to get it anywhere in this world, you have to be like Jesus. And then when I came to understand what it meant to be like Jesus, first and foremost, he emptied himself and came among us as our brother, our Lord, our King, and our God. He emptied himself. And what did he do? He invited us to take the journey with him. Today he invites 12 men to take the journey with him. And they followed him. And they followed him. They questioned him. One of them would betray him. Others would leave him. And what did they see? A man who was condemned for the goodness that he has done. A man who was betrayed because of the goodness that he had done. A man who was judged falsely. A man who suffered. A man who was rejected. A man who died on the cross. And if that was the end, he would certainly not be one that we would want to follow. But it did not end. He rose from the dead. He returned to the Father from where he came. He sent the Spirit upon us so that we could strive to understand his words. He doesn't need to be translated. And when I hear people say, I think what Jesus meant what he said, and he said what he meant. That's what we have to hear. And he always has and continues to invite us. During good times, during bad times, in times when we say, oh, Lord, I feel your presence. I see you here among us. Into those times when we say, Lord, where are you? And that's why we're here this morning. We're here to hear that word that never changes, that word that is so inviting, that word that is full of love. But we have to choose not only to hear it, we have to choose to live it. And that's where the task is. And you and I are being fed by this word. This word, we need to hear that word. Not try to say, I think what he means, and I think what he was trying to say. He knows what he means. He knows what he was saying. We have to listen to that. And in a few moments, we will come and we'll receive the Lord in us, in our sinful, our difficult, our challenge, our unbelieving bodies and minds. And I think of the words of St. Francis of Assisi, Lord, make me, an instrument of your peace, so that Jesus is in you, and you, and you, and you, and in me. We try to find deep down inside the goodness that is ours as a gift from God. Can you remember as a little kid when you first heard about this person they call God, and we are told that we are created in his image? We are created in his image. And that's why we have baptism, because that image is blurred, because it's passed on from generation to generation to generation to that very moment when Adam and Eve chose to deny God's word and to accept evil. And that's why we begin our journey with that beautiful sacrament of baptism, so that we can get back to that. God does not create anything that is evil. That God sees in us the goodness of his creative force. What we have to do is, in the midst of all difficulties and challenges from within and from without, that we choose to follow him, to realize our responsibility, to realize the world can do nothing to take away that responsibility and not that joy that we have in accepting him. I have got to the point in my life where I don't even listen to the news anymore. It's too depressing. It's too negative. Imagine if one day you woke up, you turned on the TV for the morning news, or you picked up your newspaper to find out what's going on in the world, and all you hear is, it's good. It's good. We are good. There is good in the world. We are his people. We are blessed. Even though we bound by our crosses, when Jesus says, unless you take up my cross and follow me, you can have no part of me. Hear those words. Don't say anything, oh, I think what Jesus, no. What he means is, we take up our cross. And a lot of that time is right within ourselves, because we've learned not to believe. What we must do is, we must become believers. Who can I believe in, people say? Right here, in God's word. Listen to it. Listen to it. It's not that Jesus had it easy when he came to earth. First of all, try to imagine that our God, who is there at for all eternity, who is there at all moments, left that Godhead for a few moments so that we could see in him our brother who shared our flesh. He shared everything we have and everything we are except our sinfulness. But we see that, and we are called to say, yes, Lord, I do believe. That's the encouragement we need, not simply to believe in something that is out there, is here today and gone tomorrow. Who would think of years ago, our grandparents, even my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, would believe that you could pick up something and put it to your ear and you could talk and they could hear you even though they're in another country? Who would believe that would be possible? Who would believe that we could get in a car now, and now cars are told are going to become electric? You plug them in. That the life is changing in so many ways, and we wonder, like, where are the good old days? The good old days are here right now. Now, the kingdom of God is here. Now, we are working for that fulfillment. Now, repent and believe in the gospel. What a great challenge it is, and how we need to accept that challenge in our lives. And so the basic question for you this morning, my brothers and sisters, is one I would like you to reflect upon. Where you are, how you are, what you are. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe in the words that the Spirit has allowed to come out of the gospel and speak to us? The world in its present form is passing away. Doesn't mean that the world is going to end. People think to me, well, you think the end of the world is coming? Well, I, like you, can only hear Jesus' words. We know neither the day nor the hour. And some people would think, well, this is the day or the hour. I don't know. I still don't know that. What I do believe is that it is coming. But what I do believe is I and you and you and all of us must become those fishers of men. Parents trying to encourage their children. Children to be respectful of their parents. Married couples to be respectful of one another. All those things we have to do oh, I would love to be like the saints, and you know, I could get here without getting in the car. I would just think it, and I would be here. Or I would never get a cold again. I would never lose my voice again. I would never lose my hair again. But it's not that way. I believe in the tumultuous journey of my life because I believe that I have the responsibility in my own very teeny small way to help build up that kingdom and prepare myself and those whom I love and those whom I do not love and those who I care for and those who don't care for me to build that kingdom for all of us by living the life of Christ. Now is the time. Come after me now, and I will make you fishers of men. My brothers and sisters, once again, do you believe?